It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We left off last time speaking about the dispensation of the local church, and where we left off was we were looking at the actions of God's church. Actions of the local church, especially at Jerusalem, as we look back and think about that church, the people were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, sound teaching of giving out what Jesus Christ had left for them. And we've also read how that today's churches and today's people are to stand for sound doctrine. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." In other words, the things that are the good teachings of the Word of God. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "Holding fast, don't let go of it, the faithful word as he hath been taught." Now, I believe that's speaking to preachers, of course, standing in the pulpit. But I believe we can also say, and I'm not stretching this, I do not believe I'm stretching it, that this could also and should also be for every person who names Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hold fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, as we have been taught, that we may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, present Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, so that people can know him as Lord and Savior. Exhort them to get saved. Tell them there's a necessity. Convince them that they need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the gainsayers, we're to convince them. Not us, but the Word of God is to do it. I recently met a man who said he did not believe in heaven. He did not believe in hell. He did not believe in God. He did not believe there was a God. Well, you know, the Bible says that a fool hath said in his heart, "There is no God." Now, I did not call that man a fool to his face. I would not do that. But God does. He says, "You're a fool if you do not believe in God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." If you have a problem with that, you need to take it up with God because his word says that. Well, we're to use sound doctrine, and that sound doctrine, of course, comes from Jesus Christ, from the Word. Well, why are preachers to take a stand for sound doctrine? Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 12, it says, "But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless." In other words, the person who is saved, Jesus Christ, fulfilled the law according to the Word of God, and we get saved, and this old flesh is not righteous, but the real person is righteous in the sight of God. "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient." Now, I might say this, that when a person gets saved, they're saved on their way to heaven, but the old flesh creeps in, and it separates us from the fellowship that we need with the Lord, and that we should have with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of this, and it lets us know that we've done wrong. And when that happens, we need to get things right with God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, not to be saved again, but because we are saved, so our fellowship can be restored, so that when we go to the Lord in prayer, we get things done. We go to him and we say, "Lord, forgive me, I've done wrong. And Lord, I want to serve you." And then we go to him and we present our petitions to him, whether it be for ourselves or for someone else. Let me read that verse again, verse 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." And before I get through reading the rest of this, verse 11 and 12, that's God has mentioned a lot of sins there, a lot of things and people that's done things wrong, murderers, manslayers, murderers of fathers. I mean, on and on, the sinners. It goes on and on. But notice verse 11, it says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Well, there's some people who do not believe that we need to call sin what it is, sin. There's some people who do not believe that we need to call out sin, that we need to point out sin. But let me say, if I've mentioned anything in these verses, if God mentioned them in these verses that touches you, 1 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 12, then notice that the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're all sinners. We've come short of the glory of God as human beings. But there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of people. He's the Savior, and he wants to save everyone. He is the foundation. We've studied that. He's the foundation of the local church. He's the foundation of the church. And because he came, he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. He was buried. He resurrected on that third day. He is the one who saves. And Jesus Christ says that we are to stand upon his word. And the Bible says that we're to call out sin. We're to let people know that they're sinners and that they need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And as we go through this life as saved people, God will bring us into contact with individuals who need to be saved. And we need to be able to present sound doctrine, teaching. That's what we're talking about here. Not your teaching, not my teaching, but God's teaching from his word. And as we do this, we will see results. Now, the results may not be what we want. That person we give the plan of salvation to, the result in their life, they may not trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, that's a result. But you've done your part. You've given out the word. But I've got news for you. You give out the word of God, and many times you'll see people responding favorably by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let me encourage you not to give up. Let me encourage you, saved person, to keep giving out the word of God. Keep on keeping on, letting people know that Jesus saves, and he wants to save every person. Give out that word to that person you come into contact with, letting them know that Jesus loves them and he wants to save them because he came to seek and to save those who are lost. Well, we keep looking on here, and we see something else about the local church at Jerusalem. Not only did sound doctrine and teaching go out on the day of Pentecost, but notice that the church at Jerusalem, the people had fellowship. Fellowship. This is a group of like-minded people sharing common interests, goals, experiences, and views, and so forth. And this is so much needed in local churches today, working together, like-minded people, sharing the interests that God has placed there that we should be doing, goals, setting goals, experiences, telling each other about the things that come into our lives, the good things that God has given us, and that once again, we can tell them about a soul that got saved. And that helps another Christian to know, well, if that person did it, then I can do it too. I can tell other individuals about Jesus Christ and they could get saved. Well, they had fellowship, and the people remembered the Lord's Supper. Remember that Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper when he was on this earth. And I'm going to read that in just a moment, but notice the Lord's Supper. It's a breaking of bread from house to house, according to what Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 talks about there. And we're going to read that in just a moment, but they broke bread from house to house, and they did this in remembrance. In other words, they had communion with the Lord's Supper. We call it the Lord's Supper. And these people remembered the one who had died for them and that he was coming again. Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Now, this was a meeting place that they could give out the word of God and more Jews would be saved. But notice they continued daily with one accord. They were together. They did things together. But this is the verse that talks about the Lord's Supper. And breaking bread from house to house, did they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. I believe that they met together, they had a meal together, but I also believe the breaking of bread. I believe in my heart, this is speaking of the Lord's Supper, that this is done in remembrance. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, it says, this is Paul speaking now, and he's talking about what the Lord did when he was here. He says, after the same manner also he took the cup, this is Jesus, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Well, they did that in the local church in Jerusalem. They observed the Lord's table. They did what God wanted them to do. And why did they do it? To show the Lord's death till he come. Now, I believe that when we're in our local church and we're observing the Lord's table, having the Lord's Supper, when the elements are passed around, the juice and the bread, I believe there are unsaved people present there. And I believe that is a testimony to them, letting them know that we're doing this for what reason? To show the Lord's death till he comes. The Lord is coming, but he was here. He's already been here. He died. We're to show the Lord's death until he comes. Why? Because he died for sinners. And I believe those people who are in a local church when the Lord's table is observed, that is a witness to them, and God would use that to speak to their hearts, to help them to understand that they need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Why? Because he died for the lost. Well, the Lord's Supper was observed in the early church there at Jerusalem, and they also prayed. The people prayed. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, they continued steadfastly. They didn't waver in the apostles' doctrine, teaching, in other words, the sound doctrine, and fellowship. They worked together. And in breaking of bread, they observed the Lord's Supper and in prayers. Notice with me, if you would, Acts chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. This is not Judas Iscariot, by the way. And verse 14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Well, this is the first of at least 30 occasions of prayer mentioned in the book of Acts. The ministry committed to Christ's disciples is to bear witness of him in all the world, but this must always be accompanied by prayer and supplication. As saved people, we need to pray, talk to the Lord, pray together as the children of God in the local church, praying together, committing ourselves afresh to take the word of God to this lost and dying world, praying for people that they would be saved, praying for each other that we would keep on keeping on sharing Jesus Christ with the people we come into contact with. May God bless you as you serve him.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.